Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Bahrain, a country in the Arab Peninsula, one of the, I suppose, these small countries which I didn't really quite know enough about, and just trying to understand it. I sort of know friends have been there, and various things, probably an airport and things like that. But the history of it, I really don't know. Bahrain and Qatar must be the same because they've got near identical flags. So I thought I'd look into that. So Bahrain. So I'm just getting used to cognitive rehab, reading through these sorts of things. And you've gone on with me with a world tour through Paraguay, Uruguay, Comoros Islands. Comoros Islands, I think it's the last. Vostok Islands in the Pacific, the Vostok Island. And now we're going up to Bahrain. And so I was going to see if I can really push myself a little bit. I'm just going through things. I've just had a long podcast, over an hour 20 minutes, just trying to sort out what I'm doing, or I and a group of people are doing, supporting this complex entity, which I've decided is a, really trying to think of what it is. It's a citizen science service, and it's one of these complex things that when you're in a hostile situation, you don't get to speak anyway, and you sort of forget that fact that you don't get to speak. There's no development of ideas in that fluid space of sort of communal intelligence, if once you're not allowed to speak. And so it's rather interesting to see you speak to yourself and see that communal intelligence evolve, because you always agree with yourself and you have one more thing to say if you're in podcasting. But let's get back to Bahrain. B-A-H-R-A-N, Bahrain. A sovereign state in the Persian Gulf. An island nation, so it's an island, comprises of a small archipelago made up of 33 natural islands, an additional 51 artificial islands centred around Bahrain Island, which makes up around 83% of the country's landmass. The country is situated between Qatar Peninsula and the northeastern coast of Saudi Arabia, to which is connected by a 25-kilometre King Fahad Causeway. So there it is. You can actually drive there, drive out. According to the 2010 census, Bahrain's population is over 1.2 million, of which half are non-nationals. Around 780 square kilometres in size, it's the third smallest nation in Asia after the Maldives and Singapore. The capital and largest city is Manama. Bahrain is the size is the site of ancient Dilmun civilization. It's famous since antiquity for its pearl fisheries, which are considered the best in the world into the 19th century. Bahrain is one of the earliest areas to convert to Islam during the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad in 628 CE, Common Era. Following a period of Arab rule, Bahrain was ruled by the Portuguese Empire from 1521 to 1602. These Portuguese are pretty amazing. Amazing. I just can't imagine, you know, how many Portuguese ships can there be? They're doing so much, you know, taking over Brazil. Following the conquest of Shah Abbas I, of the Safavid dynasty under the Persian Empire. I don't understand that. In 1783, Bani Ubar was captured Bahrain from Nasser Makur, and it has since been ruled by the Afa royal family. So, with Amar al-Farid as Bahrain's first hakim, whatever that means. I don't know. Is that a prime minister. Formerly an emirate, Bahrain was declared an Islamic constitutional monarchy in 2002. In the late 1800s, following successive treaties with the British, Bahrain became a protectorate of the United Kingdom. In 1971, it declared independence. Well, you can imagine UK owned all that area, don't they, from the Ottoman Empire. Okay, in 2011, the country experienced protests inspired by the regional Arabic Spring. Bahrain's ruling Al-Khalifa royal family has been accused and criticised for human rights abuses, including imprisonment, torture, execution of dissidents, political opposition figures, and its majority Shia Muslim population. Okay, so Shia, there's a Shia and the Sunni. So Shia is from Iran. So Sunni is from Saudi Arabia. So it's an enclave of Sunnis. Bahrain developed the first post-oil economy in the Persian Gulf, the results of decades of investing in banking and tourism sectors. Many of the world's largest financial institutions have presence in the country's capital. It subsequently has a high human development index. It's recognized by the World Bank as a high income country economy. Bahrain is a member of the United Nations, Non-Aligned Movement, Arab League Organization, Gulf Cooperation Councils. So just going through there. So there's quite a bit about Bahrain. So I now know it's an island connected by a causeway named after a king I know nothing about. Etymology. So why is Bahrain called Bahrain? Bahrain is a dual form of Arabic sea. Also, Al-Bara originally means the two seas. However, the name has been lexicized as a feminine proper noun and does not follow the grammatical rules of duals. Thus, its form is always Bahrain and never Bahrain, the expected nominative form. Endings are added to the word with no changes, as the name of the national anthem, Bahram, Al-Bahrainia, or the denonym, Bahrainui. The medieval grammatician Al-Jawiri commented on this, saying that it's more formally correct term is Bari, belonging to the sea. It would have been misunderstood and so it was unused. It remains disputed which two seas the name Bahrain originally refers to. The term appears five times in the Quran, but does not refer to the modern island originally known to the Arabs as Awal, but rather to all of the Eastern Arabia. Today, Bahrain's two seas are generally taken to be the east and west of the island, the seas north and south of the island, the salt and fresh water present above and below the ground. In addition to wells, there are areas of sea to the north Bahrain, where fresh water bubbles up into the middle of the salt water, as noted by visitors since antiquity. An alternative theory with regard to Bahrain's toponymy is offered by Al-Ashir region. They suggest that the two seas were the Great Green Ocean, the Persian Gulf, and a peaceful lake on the Arabian mainland. Wow, so there you go. This fresh water can actually come from the sea. That's a new piece of information. Until the late Middle Ages, Bahrain referred to the region of Eastern Arabia that included southern Iraq, Kuwait, Al-Hasa, Kharif, and Bahrain. The region stretched from Basra in Iraq to the Strait of Hormuz in Oman. It was Iqim al-Bahrain's Bahrain province. The exact date of the term Bahrain began to refer solely to the Awal Archipelago is unknown. The entire coastal strip of Eastern Arabia is known as Bahrain for a millennium. The island of the kingdom was also commonly known as, spelled Bahrein. Wow, so that's interesting. So it's an island with a huge causeway antiquity to it. Oh, wow. Bahrain antiquity. Bahrain is the home of the Dilmun, an important Bronze Age trade centre linking Mesopotamia and the Indus Valley. Bahrain was later ruled by the Assyrians and Babylonians. From the 6th to the 3rd century BC, Bahrain was part of the Achaemenid Empire. By about 250 BC, Parthia brought the Persian Gulf under its control and extended its influence as far as Oman. The Parthians established garrisons along the southern coast of the Persian Gulf to control the trade routes. Wow, the Parthians and the Romans had a big smash-up, didn't they? During the classical era, Bahrain was referred to by the ancient Greeks as Tylos, the centre for pearl trading. When the Greeks' admiral Nechus, serving under Alexander the Great, landed on Bahrain, Nechus is believed to have been the first of Alexander's commanders to visit the island. He found a verdant land that was part of a wide trading network. He recorded, quote, that on the island of Tyrus, situated in the Persian Gulf, are large plantations of cotton trees. Wow, climate change has really fit that one. From which are manufactured clothes called sindones, a strongly differing degree of value, some being costly, other being less expensive. The use of these is not confined to India, but extends to Arabia. The Greek historian Theophrastus, I remember what Theophrastus is, states that Bahrain was covered by these cotton trees, and that Bahrain was famous for exporting walking canes engraved with the emblems that were customarily carried in Babylon. Wow! Alexander had planned to settle Greek colonists in Bahrain, and although it's not clear that it happened on the scale he envisaged, Bahrain became very much part of the Hellenized world. The language in the upper classes was Greek, although Aramaic was in everyday use, while Zeus was worshipped in the form of Arabian sun god Shams. Bahrain even became the site of a Greek athletic contests. The Greek historian Strabo believed the Phoenicians originated from Bahrain. Herodotus also believed that this is the homeland of the Phoenicians was Bahrain. The theory is accepted to the 19th century German classicist Arnold Herren, who said that, quote, in the Greek geographers, for instance, we read of two islands named Tharis and Tylos. And Tharis or Tylos and Ardus, which boasted that they were under the mother country of the Phoenicians and exhibit relics of Phoenician temples. The peoples of Tyre, in particular, have long maintained the Persian Gulf origins, and the similarity in the words Tylos and Tyre had to be commented upon. However, there is little evidence that any human settlement at all on Bahrain during the time when such migration has taken place. Well, that's what he wants to say. Coming up to the next page, so that's interesting. So you think of Saudi Arabia as so dry and Islamic. The name Tyrus is thought to be a Hellenization of the Semitic Tilim or Dilmun. The term Tyrus was commonly used for islands until Ptolemy's Geographica, when the inhabitants were referred as Tyrololi. In some place names in Bahrain go back to the Tyrus area. For instance, the name Arad is a residential suburb of Maharuk. It's believed to originate from Ardus, the ancient Greek name for Maharuk. In the 3rd century, Ashir I, the first ruler of the Sadi dynasty, marched on Oman at Bahrain, where he defeated Satakirk, the ruler of Bahrain. This time, Bahrain was known as Mishmahig, which in Middle Persian means ewe fish. Bahrain was also the site of worship of the ox deity called Awal. Worshippers built a large statue to Awal in Merwa, although it has now been lost. For many centuries after Tyrus, Bahrain was known as Awal. In the 5th century, Bahrain became the centre of the Nesostrian Christianity, with a village, Shami, as a seat of bishops. In 410, according to the Oriental Syriac Church synodal records, a bishop named Batty was excommunicated from the church in Bahrain. As a sect, the Nestorians were often persecuted as heretics in the Byzantine Empire, but Bahrain was outside the empire's control, offering some safety. Names of several Maurik villages today reflect Bahrain's Christian legacy, with Aldila means the monastery. Bahrain's pre-Islamic population consisted of Christian Arabs, mostly Abd al-Qays, Persians, Zoroastrians, Jews, Aramaic-speaking agriculturians. According to Robert Bertram Sargent, Bahrain has been advertised, descendants converts from the original populations of Christians, Jews and Persians in Abdi Islands, a cultivated coastal province of Eastern Arabia. At the time of Muslim conquest, the sedentary people of pre-Islamic Bahrain were Aramaic speakers and to some degree Persian speakers, while Syriac functioned as a liturgical language. Wow. Well, Muhammad really got a foothold in here, didn't he? The time of Muhammad's first interaction with the people of Bahrain was with Al-Kur invasion. Muhammad ordered a surprise attack on the Banu Salmi tribe for allegedly plotting to attack Medina. He had received news that some tribes were assembling an army on Bahrain and preparing to attack the mainland. But tribesmen retreated when they learned Muhammad was leading the army to do battle with them. Traditional Islamic accounts state the Al-Hadarami was sent as an envoy during the expedition to Zabishma, to Bahrain region, by the Prophet Muhammad, and that Ma'ib and Al-Awi, the local ruler, responded to his mission and converted to the entire area. So it was a laid-down mazir. You can imagine this. This is bizarre. It really is bizarre to actually read the sort of contrast between the Christian religion and the Arab religion. This Muhammad was a real go-getter. In 899, the Quamans, a Malarian Islami Muslim sect, seized Bahrain, seeking to create a utopian society based on reason and redistribution of property amongst initiates. Thereafter, Quamans demanded tribute from the caliph in Baghdad and in 930 sacked Mecca and Medina, bringing the sacred black stone back to their base in Asa, in medieval Bahrain, for ransom. The black stone is a sort of a piece of obsidian glass. It's now broken to several pieces and held together with silver. And it's in the centre of the cuba, or cube. It's actually a black stone placed in the cube. And this is really interesting. So the black stone is something that was sort of super sacred in Islam. It's actually a super holy relic. And I think very few people know about this. Well, I certainly didn't know until I was reading it. According to historian Al Jay, the stone was returned 22 years later in 1951 under mysterious circumstances, wrapped in a sack. It was thrown into the Great Mosque of Kufa in Iraq, accompanied by a note saying, "By command, we took it. By command, we have brought it back." The theft and removal of the black stone caused it to break into 7 pieces. So that's what it is now. It's broken into 7 pieces. Isn't amazing? But it's now put back together. You think the Muslims would just for whatever it is. And so this is why they go to Mecca, to visit the Black Stone. Okay. Following their 976 defeat by Abbasides, the Quamarians were overthrown by the Arab unit dynasty of Al-Hasan. So they were basically the communists who took over the entire Bahrain region in 1076. The Umayyads the control Buran until 1235, when the archipelago was briefly occupied by the Persian ruler Fars. That's from Persia, means Iran. In 1253, the Bedouin Ufas brought down the Uhun dynasty, thereby gaining control of the Eastern Arabia, including the islands of Buran. In 1330, the archipelago became a tributary state to the ruler Hormuz, though locally the islands were controlled by the Shi'ite Shawani dynasty of Quaft. In the mid-15th century, the archipelago came under the rule of the Jarabs, a Bedouin dynasty based on Al-Asar and ruled most of Eastern Arabia. Early modern era. In 1512, the Portuguese Empire allied with Hormuz and seized Buran from the Jarad ruler. So that's how they got the power. The Portuguese could not possibly do anything. I just can't believe it, because they were so spread out, poor Portugal. He was killed during the takeover. Portuguese ruled and lasted for 80 years, during which time they depended mainly on Sunni Persian governors. So that's why they're getting the Sunnis in. The Portuguese were expelled from the islands in 1602 by Abbas I of the Safavid Empire, which gave impetus to Shia Islam. Oh, I'm now confused. So the so they're all Sunnis, but now the Shia is coming up. Okay, so the modern Persians are Shiites, Muslims, and the Iraqis are Sunni. So these are Sunni. Oh gosh, I'm confused. Okay. For the next two centuries, Persian rulers retained rule of the archipelago, interrupted from 1717 to 1738 by the invasion of Ibas by Oman. During most of this period, they resorted to governing Buran indirectly, either through the city of Bashir, Abushir, or through immigrant Sunni Arab clans. So this, oh God. The latter were tribes returning to the Arabian side of the Persian Gulf from Persian territories in the north, who were known as the Hawala. In 1753, Hawala clan of Nasir al-Malkta invaded Buran on behalf of the Iranian Zand leader Karim Khan Zand and restored it to direct Iranian rule. So this is why it's got a little Iranian enclave. Isn't that amazing? So that's why it's not part. It's sort of an Iranian thorn on the side of the Saudis. In 1783, Al-Mughal lost the islands of Buran following his defeat by the Bani Uqtbah tribe in 1782 in the Battle of Zubara. Buran was not a new territory to the Bani Uqtbah. They had been in the presence there since the 7th century. During that time, they started purchasing date gardens in Buran. A document shown that 81 years before the arrival of Al-Khalifa, one of the sheikhs of Al-Bin Ali tribe, an offshoot of the Bani Uqtbah, had bought a palm garden from Miriam bin Ahmed al-Sandi in the Sitra Island, whatever that means. The house of Khalifa moved to from Qatar to Buran in 1799. So Qatar is actually a little peninsula, a little jut out into the Gulf of Arabia. And we'll find out about that. So, yeah, I'm just trying to get this around my head. Fiona, are you going out for a walk now? The House of Kaffa, originally their ancestors were expelled from Umm Qasr in Central Arabia by the Ottomans due to their predatory habits of preying on caravans in Basra and trading ships in the Shah Arab waterway until the Turks expelled them from Kuwait in 1716, where they remained until 1766. So this is just getting a bit crazy, so I'm getting a bit confused about what sect they are. But it was interesting, the Iranian influence. Around 1760, Al-Jalma, House of Khalifa, both belonging to the Utab Federation, migrated to Zabara, modern-day Qatar, leaving Al-Shaba the sole proprietors of Kuwait. I don't quite understand all this type of stuff. So there's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing. 19th century and later. In early 19th century, Bahrain was invaded by both the Omanis and Al-Suds, which would be Saudi Arabia. In 1802, it was governed by the 12-year-old when Omani ruler Sarid Sultan installed his son, Salem, as governor in the Al-Arad fort. In 1816, the British political resident in the Gulf, William Bruce, received a letter from Sheikh of Bahrain, who was concerned about the rumour that Britain would support an attack on the island by the Yemen Muscat. He sailed to Bahrain to reassure the Sheikh that this was not the case and drew up an informal agreement assuring the Sheikh that Britain would remain neutral party. In 1820, Al-Kafa tribe was recognised by Great Britain as rulers Al-Haram in Arak of Bahrain after signing the treaty relationship. However, 10 years later, they were forced to pay yearly tributes to Egypt despite seeking Persian and British protection. In 1860, Al-Karafs used the same tactic when the British tried to overpower Bahrain. Writing letters to the Persians and the Ottomans, Al-Karafs agreed to place Britain under the latter's protection in March due to offering better conditions. Eventually, the government of the British Indian overpowered Bahrain when the Persians refused to protect it. Colonel Pelly signed a new treaty with Al-Karafs, placing Bahrain under British rule and protection. Following the Qatar-Bahrain War of 1868, British representatives signed another agreement with Al-Kafis. It specified that the ruler could not dispose of any of his territory except to the United Kingdom and could not enter into relationships with any foreign governments without British consent. In return, the British promised to protect the Bahrain from all aggression by the sea and to lend support in the case of land attack. More importantly, the British promised to support rule of Al-Kafa in Bahrain, securing its unstable position as rulers of the country. Other agreements in 1818 and 1892 sealed the protectorate status of Bahrain to the British. Wow, so they basically traded their way into Britain's care to remain in power. Unrest amongst the people of Bahrain began when Britain officially established a complete dominance of the territory in 1892. The first revolt and widespread uprising took part in March 1895 against Sheikh Ibir bin Ali, then ruler of Bahrain. Sheikh Issa was the first of the Al-Kafa to rule without Persian relations. Sir Arnold Wilson, Britain's representative in the Persian Gulf and author of The Persian Gulf, arrived in Bahrain from Muscat at this time. The uprising developed further and some protesters were killed by the British forces. Before the development of petroleum, the island was largely devoted to pearl fisheries and, as late as the 19th century, was considered to be the finest in the world. In 1903, German explorer Hermann Burckhardt visited Bahrain and took many photographs of historical sites, including the old Casa Eschrich, photos now stored in the Ethnological Museum in Berlin. Prior to the First World, there were about 400 vessels hunting pearls, an annual export of more than £30,000. In 1911, a group of Bahraini merchants demanded restrictions on the British influence in the countries. Their group's leaders were subsequently arrested and exiled to India. In 1923, the British introduced administrative reforms and replaced Sheikh Issa bin Ali with his son. Some clerical opponents and families such as the Dorsey left and were exiled to Saudi Arabia and Iran. 3 years later, the British placed the country under the de facto rule of Charles Belgrave, who operated as an advisor to the ruler until 1957. Belgrave brought a number of reforms, such as establishing the country's first modern school in 1919, Persian Gulf's first girls' school in 1928, and the abolition of slavery in 1937. That is the most... I wish this is doing my head in. So Bahrain is serious violence. It's under Iraqi rule. It's got a land bridge. It's got 33 islands, 51 artificial islands. It's 760 square kilometers. I was trying to get this up here. It was Christian. It was so many different things. Then Arabia. Then it was held by the Arabic, the Arab version of communists who stole the black stone, shattered the stone, and then it traded itself into the British Empire. And then they fought against the British Empire. And then in 1937, they got rid of slavery. At the same time, the pearl diving industry was developed at a rapid pace. In 1927, Azer Shah, then Shah of Iran, demanded sovereignty over Bahrain in a letter to the League of Nations, a move that prompted Belgrave to undertake harsh measures, including encouraging conflicts between the Shia and Sunni Muslims in order to bring down the uprising and limit the Iranian influence.
Fuck me dead. Oh, that's awful.
That's hard to know. So they are trying to stir them up against each other at the Iran-Iraq war. Oh my god. Okay, even went further by suggesting to rename the Persian Gulf the Arabian Gulf. The proposal was refused by the British government. The British interest in Bahrain developed was motivated by concerns of the Saudi and Iranian ambitions in the region. So, that's how. God. The Bahrain Petroleum Company, BAPCO, the subsidiary of Standard Oil in California, SoCal, discovered oil in 1931. The production began the following year. This was to bring rapid modernization of Bahrain. Relations with the United Kingdom became closer, evidenced by the British Royal Navy moving in the entire Middle Eastern Command unit from Bashir in Iran to Bahrain in 1935. In early 1930, Bahrain Airport was developed. Imperial Airways flew there, including the Hadley Page 42 aircraft. Later, in the same decade, Bahrain Maritime Airport was established for flying boats and seaplanes. Bahrain participated in the Second World War as on the Allied side, joining on the 10th of September 1939. And the 19th of October 1940, four Italian bombers bombed Bahrain alongside the Iran oil fields in Saudi Arabia, targeting Allied-operated oil refineries. Although minimal damage was caused in both locations, the attack forced the Allies to upgrade Bahrain's defences, an action which further stretched the Allied military resources. After World War II, increasing anti-British sentiments spread throughout the Arab world and led to riots in Bahrain. The riots focused on Jewish community. Poor Jews. In 1948, following the rising of hostilities and lootings, both members of the Bahrain's Jewish community abandoned their properties and evacuated to Bombay, later settling in Israel and the United Kingdom. In 2008, 37 Jews remained in the country. In the 1950s, the National Union Committee, formed by reformists following the sectarian clashes, demanded elected popular assembly, the removal of Belgrave was carried out in a number of protests and general strikes. In 1965, a month-long uprising broke out after hundreds of workers in Bahrain and Petroleum Country were laid off. Whoa! Gee, that's hard to believe. The British had someone called Belgrave there who did fantastic reforms like abolishing slaves, getting girls' school in, but then, oh yeah, we're going to educate girls, oh, let's do something about the slavery. On the 15th of August 1971, though the Shah of Bahrain was claiming historical sovereignty of Bahrain, he accepted a referendum held by the United Nations, and eventually Bahrain declared independence and signed a new treaty of friendship with the United Kingdom. Bahrain joined the United Nations publicly the year after. The oil boom in the 1970s benefited Bahrain greatly, although the subsequent downturn in the economy. The country had already begun diversification of the economy and benefited further by the Lebanese Civil War in the 70s and 1980s, when Bahrain replaced Beirut as Middle East's financial hub after Lebanon's large banking sector was driven out of the country by war. Poor Lebanon. I just feel so sorry for Lebanon. Following the 79 Islamic resolution in Iran and 81, the Bahraini Shia population orchestrated a failed coup attempt under the auspices of the Islamic Front for Liberation of Bahrain. So, the Shia. No, the Shia are now the Iranians, the Sunnis there. The coup would have installed a Shia exile cleric in Iran as supreme leader, leading a theocratic government. In December 1994, a group of youths threw stones at female runners for running bare-legged during the international marathon. The resulting clash with police grew into civil unrest. A popularizing occurred in 1994, and 2000, in which leftist liberals and Islamists joined forces. The event resulted in approximately 40 deaths and ended after Ahmad bin Isa al-Khafa became the Emir of Bahrain in 1999. So Emir is emirate. He instituted elections for parliament, gave women the right to vote, and released all political prisoners. A referendum in, given the population, is less than a million, I can't believe it. The 14th to 15th of February in 2001, magically supported the National Action Charter. As part of the adoption of the National Action Charter, on February the 14th, 2002, Bahrain changed its formal name from the State of Bahrain to the Kingdom of Bahrain. The country participated in a military action against the Taliban in October 2001 by deploying a frigate in the Arabian Sea for rescue and humanitarian operations. As a result, in November of that year, the US President George W. Bush administration designated Bahrain as a major non-NATO ally. Bahrain opposed the invasion of Iraq, which he would, and it offered Saddam Hussein asylum in the days prior to the invasion. Relations improved with neighbouring Qatar after the border dispute over the Hawaii Islands was resolved by the International Court of Justice in The Hague. Following the political liberalisation of the country, Bahrain negotiated a free trade agreement with the United States in 2004. Well, that's pretty amazing. You can imagine that's more just to irritate the pants off the Saudis. I wonder what the Saudis feel. So it's really under Arab result. The Bahraini protests of 2011-13. Inspired by the Arab Spring, Bahrain's Shia majority started large protests against the Sunni rulers. Yeah, okay. The Sunni rulers are the... Sunni rulers will be affiliated with the Saudis and the Iraqis. The government initially allowed protests following the pre-dawn raid on protesters camped at the Pearl Roundabout. A month later, it requested security assistance from Saudi Arabia and other Gulf Cooperation Councils, declared a 3-month state of emergency. The government then launched a crackdown on opposition and included conducting thousands of arrests and systematic torture. Almost daily clashes between the protesters and security forces led to dozens of deaths. Protests, some of them staged by opposition parties, were ongoing. More than 80 civilians and 13 policemen have been killed on the march 2014, according to Physicians of Human Rights. 34 of these deaths were related to government usage of tear gas originally manufactured in the US federal laboratories. Lack of coverage of Arab media in the Persian Gulf, as compared to other Arab Spring uprisings, has sparked several controversies. Iran has alleged the United States and others have had a hand in arming the Bahraini militants. Okay, I'm going to stop there and start later on. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.